Good morning, everyone. It's really good to see you on this Pentecost Sunday. My name's Nina. I'm the curate here at St. James, if we haven't met before. We're so Pentecost Sunday celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit in a new and empowering way. So it's fitting that as we continue with our series of looking at what is the church, that today our theme is the church as people of power. Pentecost is often seen signifying the birth of the worldwide church, the Holy Spirit equipping believers to share the gospel to all nations, to all people, and in all languages. Just want to share a story as we start and before we go into our text. Watched recently an interview of Jackie Pullinger, who you may have heard of. She's worked number of decades among the drug addicts in Hong Kong. She had a sense of call from God really quite early on in her early 20s, but not knowing where or what that was going to be. So she was praying, and being a prayer woman, she boarded a ship that was traveling around the world, asking God to show her which port should she come off the ship, get off the ship. And a number of ports were passed, and then she came to Hong Kong and had a real strong sense that this is the place where God is calling her to work. And she spent time in a place then called the Walled City, very densely built, overpopulated high-rise area, filled with drug dens, prostitution, all manner of crime, and described it as a slum growing upwards rather than kind of shantytown that we sometimes see. She had quite an unorthodox, and still has, method of treating the addiction by power of prayer alone, staying with people for minimum 10 days, literally just praying, and then living in a community to show a kind of long-term support, helping people recovering and building up their lives. And so many lives have been absolutely and totally transformed. Interviewed as asked her, well, that must have felt quite dangerous for you to go into this place to start with. And she said, well, actually, most of the time it was quite fun. I didn't really feel scared because it might have been dark for someone else to go into this place, but this is where God called me to do, and therefore it was safe and it was okay. I think it's just one of those stories where, you know, this could only happen because of the power of the Holy Spirit and Jackie's willingness to be an instrument on earth for that power. It shows the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but also the effect that it has on us, providing direction and guidance, power of transformation in us and through us, a sense of peace and freedom that his Spirit brings. So the questions to keep in mind as we look at this passage and gift of the Holy Spirit is, how can we be people of power, both individually and as a church? What is this power of the Holy Spirit of God really like? And I want to come back to those questions towards the end. But for us to better appreciate the real significance of the day of Pentecost, just want to look a little briefly about the activity of the Holy Spirit before and after the Pentecost. So looking at the promise of the Holy Spirit and then the coming of the Holy Spirit and the impact of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit, we see it in the Old Testament. Sometimes when we look at the Pentecost, it could be misleading to think that Holy Spirit has not been so active before this time. But we see the activity of the Spirit all through the Bible, right from the very first verse that states, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, up until the last verse in the Bible. An Old Testament, the Spirit was often given for specific people for a specific task. Prophets were filled with the message of God, and the prophet Joel was quoted in our reading today. And in New Testament, we see an increased activity in Mary, in Elizabeth, John the Baptist, and of course, Jesus himself. Holy Spirit descended on him on his baptism, and his whole ministry was filled with the Holy Spirit, powered by it. Jesus himself then promises the Spirit for his disciples. In John 7, we read, he says, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. There's a reference in here also for the Jewish festival that was taking place at the time of his speaking, the Feast of the Tabernacles, where the Jews were anticipating this great river flowing out of Jerusalem, prophesied in Ezekiel. And as with so many Old Testament prophecies, there's just one of the examples where really this prophecy is coming into fruition, not just in a place, but in the person, in Jesus. He uses this topical image of water to describe the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. It's likened to a flowing river that brings restoration and new life to dry places. And we might sometimes find ourselves in that dry place, really needing that freshening of the Holy Spirit. And in that way, the Holy Spirit will flow into us, bringing us new life, and also can then flow out of us to those around us. It's something that we are called to share with others and give it away. It's a gift that keeps giving. It's not something to hold on to ourselves alone. So Holy Spirit is the one who equips us to be more like Jesus, with our words, our actions, our presence, to look out for the needy and lonely, for those that bring healing and his love and peace at heart. Later on in John, Jesus says that when the counselor of the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. And he talks about Holy Spirit bringing peace. So Holy Spirit is also the bringer of peace, who helps to cast away all fear. Bringer of peace. And then he gives the command, just before ascending to the heaven, to the disciples, to wait. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when we come to the event of Pentecost, where this promise is fulfilled, there's a complete gear shift from now on. If the Holy Spirit was primarily given for a specific time, for specific people, for specific prophets, it is now available to all believers at all times and in all places. The kingdom of God that we've been focusing, especially in this Thy Kingdom Come last 11 days, is truly breaking through at a new level, reaching to the ends of the earth, and continues to do so. We've got the image of the wind and fire coming of the Holy Spirit was both audible and it was visible, it was public, it was something to be noticed, to be heard about by those around. We've got the languages, the wind and fire, wind often being meaning the described the way described God's activity, and fire often associated as divine presence and judgment of God. The people around them would have understood, even if the disciples would have been speaking in Aramaic or Greek. But of course, there was something more going on in here. It was signifying that actually now the gospel is going into the whole world. And just the amazement that disciples were able to speak a language they didn't know. And this was the gift of tongues that was given to the church for the first time. The ability to prophesy for all people, not just specific prophets necessarily, as well as being able to pray and praise with a language that we might not understand ourselves, enabling us to intercede to God, the language that we can use even when our own words fail to approach Him. So what is the impact of the Holy Spirit and receiving of it? In short, it was a new boldness to proclaim the gospel and live as witnesses to Jesus. Peter stands up and declares, "These men are not drunk, as you might think." But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and I just want to quote again some of those beautiful words. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. They will be wonders and signs. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." These are big promises. Peter goes on to declare who Jesus is, the promised Messiah, and calls people to repent and be baptized and receive this gift for themselves. And what is this power like? The power of the Holy Spirit is very different the way we sometimes understand power in the world. It is not self-seeking, but something to be given away, something that pours out from us. And by us giving it away, it can multiply. It's like that image of the river that we looked at, that flows in and from out of us, bringing new life, peace, and freedom. And we can see that in Peter. Peter immediately reaches out to others, address the puzzled crowds around him. So if we come back to the question of how can we be people of power, both individually and as church, I've noticed that the two elements of waiting and receiving that precede this. Would you like to put your hand up if you like waiting? There's one, I like that. I thought that might be, there might be a minority on that. I certainly am not happy to put my hand up. I think waiting is uncomfortable. And yet, in the Bible, we see so many examples of waiting of different degrees. You know, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting and praying before his ministry, before his baptism, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Joel's prophecy was given hundreds and hundreds of years before it came into fruition, and the disciples were asked to wait. And it's such a contrast to the kind of culture that we live. We'd expect often instant gratification. So waiting is uncomfortable. It can be very testing. But it seems something quite profound happens in us when we choose to wait for God. And when we persevere in that, something shifts. We become more receptive and open for the Spirit's work in us, less filled with our own agendas. This waiting and stilling of ourselves enables us to hear and receive from God. This year of pandemic may well have felt to you as quite an uncomfortable time of waiting and receiving. And perhaps, you know, we might be kind of getting ready to actually be receiving and responding in all this waiting. So what does receiving look like? It requires expectancy and that openness that we have touched on. And I think it's again good to be reminded of the what kind of power we are talking about when we're talking about God. God's power is strong, but not invasive. He comes when invited, not by force. He empowers us to do his will, not powering over us. And it does require surrender and submission from our part. But what we receive is not a bondage, but peace and freedom to follow him. And as we've already touched on, it's often received from the place of being still before God, who experiences his power. In Psalm 46, we are called to be still and know who God is. But perhaps if we are honest, sometimes we might feel a bit hesitant to be open to the Holy Spirit in fear that we might lose control. He might ask us to do things that we might not want to do or not feel comfortable. And I think it is true that he often calls us out of our comfort zones. Obedience is part of following Jesus. At times it's sacrificial, and at times it's also hard. But God's will for us is good, always. Our purpose in life as Christians is to be rooted in Jesus, to find our identity in him alone, no matter what that brings and where he leads us. And Holy Spirit is the one who enables us for that to take root in us, to find our true identity in Jesus. And in this Pentecost story, Holy Spirit was poured out very publicly, very visibly. But there's also another encounter in John 20 on Easter Day when Jesus appears to his disciples after he's been resurrected through locked doors. And he says this. The disciples are probably still quite frightened of what and confused what has happened. And he starts with these words, "Peace be with you." So we're coming back to that theme of peace that comes with Holy Spirit. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And you might find this encounter more relatable, in particular, in this past year. You might be watching and following this service and feeling still like being a bit locked in. But Jesus comes to us saying, "Receive my Holy Spirit, my Spirit of peace." He is not limited by walls or our circumstances. Often when we pray for the Holy Spirit to come, we open our hands. Again, that's a sign of openness. There's nothing magical about that, but it's about the posture that we offer to God, that I'm open for what you want to do to me. I watched an Alpha video where Charlie Mackesy, quite a known artist, was telling about him going for the Alpha Holy Spirit weekend. And he said that he was there very reluctantly. He was sort of not wanting everyone to pray for him and not wanting anything kind of odd to happen to him, and just actually really wanting just to run away, do a runner. But in the end, he did allow for him to be prayed for. And he said that actually the overwhelming sense was just a sense of peace that came upon him. God's peace. The disciples were gathered together in prayer, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came. And it was perhaps a surprise in the moment when it happened, but it wasn't uninvited or undesired. So out of that waiting and responding, receiving of being filled with the Spirit, we can then respond in his power. Peter responded with boldness. He answered the crowds and addressed their questions, invited them to respond to Jesus. And as a result, thousands did. 3,000 people were added to their number. They started off with 120. By the end of the day, there were 3,000 who were following Jesus as a result. Jesus said that he has come to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the sick, to bring justice, to show mercy, to free the oppressed. And this is the work of the Spirit in the world filled with injustice in so many ways. This will at times require real boldness for us to stand for the truth that the Spirit reveals to us. Holy Spirit is given for us to stand firm in our identity in Jesus and to do his works, to be filled with this living water that we talked about, so that the outpouring of the Spirit in us will enable God's love and power to flow to others. These ordinary fishermen turned into bold public speakers by waiting patiently, by receiving him in faith, and by responding in boldness in this newly found power in God and being willing to give it out to others. And so can we do the same. So we might just want to take a time to wait, to receive and respond to the Holy Spirit, that he would come and fill us afresh today. And dream big with God. What is God calling us as a church to do in his power? What is God calling us individually to respond to? So we might just want to take a moment for silence just to receive. And if you feel happy to, just open your arm or open your hands, and you might even want to stand up. Sometimes there is just that kind of sense of actually I'm open for what the Holy Spirit is bringing to me. And the music group will lead us. So we just want to say the old, the simplest prayer, but one of the shortest prayer that there is. Come, Holy Spirit, we are open to you. We are willing to receive what you have for us today. So come, Holy Spirit.